Welcome to WJR's Internet Advisor Podcast. Catch the live show weekends on News Talk 760 WJR and online at internetadvisor.net. Now, here are your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, this is Foster Brown, and we have got a great program lined up here. We're going to have Daddy-Daughter Day. Say that three times quickly on the Internet Advisor today. My three experts, Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Kel Carson, are going to have their daughters. You're going to get to meet them, and we're going to talk about this new generation and technology and how they're handling it. We'll also talk about the Big Apple virus a little later on in the program. Great show today. Stay tuned.
Once again, your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, a very special edition indeed. We were attempting to do all sorts of things at one time here, including a Skype session where some of our guests who are not in the studio with us will be able to join the conversation as well. So good to be with you here on the Internet Advisor. My name is Foster Brown, and with me, of course, my teammates, Gary Baker in studio here. Gary, how you doing?
It's great to be here. I love it.
All right. And then we also have some other people online. We're going to get them in just a second. Let's introduce your daughter first, Gary. Go ahead. You have the honors.
Lauren has joined us. She's now a sophomore at the University of Michigan, and her first time on the show with us, Foster, she was 5 years old.
I know.
It was 15 years ago. In the next couple weeks, I think we had her on.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible. So, Lauren, you've come a long way, baby.
I have. Thanks for having me back.
It is. It's good to have you on. The last time you met, but the first time you were on, I think you were on, you had just done a Mother's Day webpage, I think it was, a website that you had created?
Yep. We created it for Mother's Day, and I just finished creating a second site for an online portfolio, so it's been a while, but I'm back on it. So.
Well, we're going to talk about that, among other things, today, because part of the deal today with having daughters on with their dads is we're going to be talking about how this next generation is using technology. All these young ladies we're talking to are in college right now. Let's go on. Eddie Rudell is here, and Ed, why don't you introduce your daughter who's with us online as well?
Well, I'd like to introduce my daughter, Sharde Rudell, and she's a freshman at Grand Valley State University on the other side of the state. Sharde, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Good, Sharde. Good to have you with us, and we'll try to switch it around so you get to be on Skype as well and get to see everybody. We're still working.
Okay, awesome.
We're still working on that. Now, you're out of Grand Valley, right?
Yeah.
And that's in the Grand Rapids area?
Yep. It's just south of Grand Rapids.
Okay, good.
And now, all that way, and there's no latency. We can talk to her just like normal.
I love that. And then, Cal Carson, we are delighted to have you with us, as always, on every week, but you have somebody very special in studio with you.
Yeah. I tried really hard. She said, no, really, really, I'll come.
I did not.
This is my daughter, Meredith. Meredith is over at Oakland Community College. She's studying what?
I'm a double major, so American Sign Language Interpreting and Paramedic Technology.
Wow, oh, that's wonderful. Cool. You know, my granddaughters are studying ASL. One of them is studying ASL at Oakland OCC as well in Royal Oak.
Oh, that's awesome. I think I'm in ASL 2 now, so I might have just missed them by, maybe a semester.
Yeah, they were catching up. I can recommend. You can tutor her, okay?
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, I know where you can sell your books.
Yeah, exactly. Sell them to her. I might not get rid of my ASL books because I'm really attached to them and keep going in the program, so I might refer back to them quite often.
ASL. Tell people what ASL means.
ASL refers to American Sign Language.
Okay, which is, in the United States at least, that's the sign language. The basic sign languages, I think there's a number of them, aren't there?
Yes, there's British Sign Language. I believe there's Chinese and German Sign Language as well.
Does that mean you sign with an accent?
Not really, but some of the signs are different. Like, our letter B isn't the same as it is in Britain. Like, their B is two hands, ours is one-handed.
That way you can hold your coffee with the other hand.
Exactly.
Or your scone if you happen to be in Great Britain, or who knows what you would have, chopsticks, I guess, in China if you were there. Well, what we want to talk about today with you three young ladies are some of the things that are going on in technology. And, you know, let's start for you folks in your generation. And let me start off, maybe, Lauren, going back to you. You're at the University of Michigan there. Let's talk about some of the basic technology you use every day. What are things that you carry around with you that you use, you know, on a regular basis for technology? I mean, like keeping in touch with people, class, et cetera.
Yeah, I definitely, I carry around, I mean, I carry around my laptop like no other, because Michigan is very online, has everything online. We're actually even switching all of our mail over to Google Mail, so Gmail. So it's changing, and they're updating it all the time. People are starting to use iPads more. Students are connecting with their teachers through Facebook and Twitter more and more. So it's just technology is really taking over the classroom and the whole campus as a whole as well. So there's a lot here.
And Lauren, you told me that that you guys all use Twitter because, first of all, you can get a hold of a lot of people at the same time, but it's really short, and you don't have time to read a whole lot of messages because there's so many people messaging you all the time. So you're using Twitter.
Yeah, we are using Twitter more and more. it's great with the teachers, too, or following sports and with teachers. It's really connected through our studies and through our athletics. It's really a way to get messages out fast into a big group of people at the same time.
Now, that's kind of 5 minutes, you know, so 5 minutes ago, because you're using another one, right? Is that Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram. I just found out about it a couple weeks ago, and all my friends, it's a Twitter, but with just pictures. So it's you take a picture on your smartphone on this Instagram app, and then you can change it, all these different options to change the picture around, and then you add a caption, and it's really, I was surprised by how many people were using it, because I didn't really hear
That's
about it until,
but is it the same? Excuse me, Lauren, is it the same number of characters, 140 characters, as like with Twitter?
You know, I'm not sure
it's
the
just
exact
pictures,
number,
right?
But it is a short message.
Because she's saying is you can add a message to it,
to
which is the
phone.
Cool thing. So a picture may be worth 1,000 words, so there's more than that.
So Meredith was just showing us that, Meredith, you're on Instagram too, right?
I am, yes, sir. I am on Instagram.
So what do you like about that as opposed to just Twitter?
What I really like about Instagram is when you take a picture, you can actually edit the filters the filter effects that you put on the picture. That's what's awesome about it.
Yeah, so cool. you get it looking different ways. But is that become a real means of communication also between the kids?
Actually, yeah. It's a really good way to see where people have been and also to see what they're doing in their lives.
Excellent.
A lot of people ask me about it.
Sade, we want to hear from Grand Valley in just a moment, okay?
Okay.
All right, so you stay tuned there. We've got our Daddy-Daughter Day going here at the Internet Advisor. We'll be back in just a moment to continue that conversation and hope you stick around as well.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. You can find more resources to protect your computer on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Welcome back, kids. A Daddy-Daughter Show. That's right. Gary Baker, his daughter Lauren Baker, Ed Rudell, his daughter Sade Rudell, and also Mr. Cal Carson and his daughter Meredith, who's with us in studio. And we are having a ball here. We're talking about the technology that this next generation is using as they're at colleges. Lauren's at the University of Michigan. Sade is at Grand Valley in Grand Rapids. And Sade, you're at Oakland Community College, right?
Meredith,
at Oakland Community College, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Sade, I want to go back to you. We had talked about this just a little bit before with the other young ladies here about what kind of common tools young people are using nowadays. You know, are they using just smartphones? Are they using tablets? Are they using notebooks? And also this business about how do they communicate with one another? Instagram came up, but do you find that being used as a very significant way of communicating?
I have never used Instagram. Like, I just found out. I just use it to take pictures. I didn't even know it was a social media thing until, like, 5 minutes ago when you guys were talking about
it's 5 minutes ago.
I guess so, but it sounds really cool, but I don't really have a smartphone, so
okay.
I don't think I could use it, unfortunately.
Now, with your laptop, I know Dad sent you off to school with a good laptop.
Yeah.
How do you communicate with friends, then? What's your major tool for communication?
Oh, I rely heavily on Skype and Facebook, definitely, to keep in touch with everybody back home. It's a huge, especially Skype. Like, I video chat with my friends every week.
Ah, okay.
So. And she has something called Skype Adventures.
What? Now, what is Skype Adventures?
No, it's just, that's what I like to call it when I, I don't know, I take random pictures of people when they're on Skype and they don't know, and I just Facebook and embarrass them.
Oh, so you, while you're talking to one of your friends, you take a random picture of it and then you can doctor it?
Yeah, something like that.
Now, uh-oh, we just gave away the secret.
No, it's okay, they all know about it. They all hate me for it secretly.
So now, do you use Facebook and post a lot of photos there?
Yeah, definitely.
I want to ask that, Lauren and Meredith, do you two use Skype very much? Meredith, let's start with you.
I did for a little bit when I was away in Florida for 6 months. So that was a way for me to call home and kind of talk to my family over video.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually really cool because I was not home last year for Easter. So I was able to sit at the dinner table, if you will.
It's kind of cool.
And see my family.
Did you set a place for her?
He put me in the refrigerator on the island. I was sitting in the freezer.
Actually, we set a place at the table for her, and then we put this laptop right there.
Right on the plate.
That's what I thought.
And then just sit on a Lazy Susan so that she could talk from one person to another.
I love it. Lauren, how about you? What's Skype play? What role does Skype play in the way that you communicate?
You know, I actually don't use Skype as much as I use. I have a smartphone. I have an iPhone, so I use FaceTime a lot. And then with a couple of my friends, I Tingo. So it's an app that you can download, and you can do it anywhere.
That takes two, doesn't it? It takes two to tango, right?
I'm sorry?
It does take two to tango.
So my friend, one of my best friends from high school, her and I Tingo each other when we walk to class a lot. When I'm in my room, but even you can do it anywhere, so it's great to do instead of just sitting down in front of your computer. We can have cool backgrounds in the back, or you know, walking to class. So now I Tingo a lot more than Skype, that's for sure.
Now, is Tingo strictly a one-to-one type situation, or can you have like a big Tingo party?
I think it's one-to-one right now. I haven't Tingo partied yet, but I think they'll probably. I mean, Skype's probably doing it soon. I think they're all
sounds
going to.
Sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
Having a tango party, that sounds dangerous. Have you heard of this, Dad, before?
I've heard of a toga party, but never a tango party.
That's a different generation.
That was another
generation.
Don't tell them about that, whatever you do.
Different generation.
Greeks are dangerous.
So, Lauren, you use Facebook, though, a lot. I know that when you took a mission trip to the Dominican Republic, we saw you guys covered in mud. You were out with a pickaxe and shovels, and I saw a photo of you actually doing work, moving dirt around in a wheelbarrow, and that all goes online almost before you get home, right?
Yeah, Facebook and definitely blogs play a big role in that, too. We had a blog when we were down in the Dominican for our mission trip, so there's blogs with videos and pictures, just a, you know, an online journal of everything that we did. So that plays along with Facebook too, but definitely it's a good way to keep up with your kids, especially when they're doing
real work. I couldn't believe
it. Yeah.
Oh,
real
Dad,
work.
Come on. Cal?
So, Lauren, if I could ask you, what is the laptop that you're using? What type of laptop is it? Tell me a little bit about it.
I have a MacBook Pro, so I switched over to it. I used to have the Dell. But I have a MacBook Pro, so I'm with that right now.
Wise decision.
And,
and so Cal did that because
it.
And you know that Cal asked that for because he was that was a little
yeah.
No,
dig at me.
No, because I was going to ask Sade which one she's using.
Oh, I'm using a Sony VAIO.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Was that one?
So hoity toity does transcend to the Windows world.
Ed, did you set that up for her?
No, she took her graduation money and blew it.
That sounds familiar.
And I mean, once she got all that cash, you know, and the other thing she purchased was a very nice digital SLR camera.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
And she has quite the adventures publishing those on the internet. So, should I be using Flickr?
Yeah, actually, I just got a Flickr account a few weeks ago.
Okay. Because there's just so much stuff, and she's out with her friends and campus life and shopping life and, you know.
Yeah. Now, we've been talking about social applications, and I want to get, we're going to be taking a break in a little bit, and I want to talk about some of the academic applications that are going on here, ladies. Just keep on the social team for a minute. Are we moving beyond Facebook, do you think? In your world, Meredith, for instance, are you experiencing your friends, the people your age, moving to something else? I'm asking the question because at one time MySpace was the big thing, and then Facebook was where all the college people went. And then is there something new on the horizon?
Well, we actually were talking about this during break at work the other day. We're saying, how is everyone going to move towards Twitter? And I tried Twitter for a little bit. I'm like, I really don't understand it. It's just a way to post random sentences. This is not cool to me. So I honestly think that for the time being, a lot of people are sticking with Facebook because not only can you do that way to update like those statuses, but you can still post pictures and even find people that maybe you hadn't seen in years.
Yeah, exactly. How about you, Sharding?
I definitely agree. I tried Twitter like a really long time ago before it was even popular, and I didn't really even see the appeal. And now that so many people are doing it, I'm just like, I still really don't see how you can communicate with like people in 120 characters or whatever it is.
Yeah, like, 140
I find it hard enough with like the Facebook statuses. Like, I usually just use Facebook for pictures and chatting. I don't even use it for statuses anymore. So I think it's definitely, I think we're definitely sticking with Facebook for a while until the next big social network thing comes out.
Well, see, I thought you guys had your fingers at it. Now, Lauren, you seem to think that there was something new coming along.
Yeah, well, I think Facebook is going to stay around. I think they are with the timeline that they're now starting to use. I heard that they're going to make it a mandatory switch over to the timeline instead of our normal profile. But I think Facebook is very classic now, and it won't go into the you know, update your wall, different wall pictures. So I think it's a classic one, and I think it'll stay around for a while as the most basic. But I think, I definitely think Twitter and, like, Instagram are definitely going to be on the rise, especially because I'm doing a lot of marketing in my classes, and it's crazy how much they're using different technology with, like, the scan QR code with your smartphone. So it's just, so many things are going to come up, but Facebook is definitely the kind of go-to classic.
So are the smartphones then becoming the key technology, ladies? Meredith, what do you think?
I think so. I just jumped on the smartphone bandwagon back in January. So I really do think that it's becoming that key technology, because you can do just about anything with a smartphone. Like, there's an app for that, like, literally. Like, I use it a lot at work, and a lot of people are so amazed with how much stuff you can do with it.
How many apps do you have on your phone?
Right now I have 65.
Wow. Oh, but Sade, I'm curious. I'm sorry, Gary.
But I was just going to say that it's not either or one replaces the other.
No,
it's
no,
just added on, right? You're going to have a Facebook, then you're going to have something else, and then something else, and Sade, they're all just added on.
Did you say, Sade, you do or do not use a smartphone?
No, I don't have a smartphone yet.
So there's a multitude of things. Yeah. All right, let's do it. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're talking with the three daughters here and their three dads in the studio. We're going to talk about academic applications. I'm particularly interested to see if the tablets, like the iPads, et cetera, are moving into this college space. This is the Internet Advisor Daughter Daddy program. Stay tuned.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. For help with any computer problem, call in during our live show or visit our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Well, I hope you're keeping track of all the voices you're hearing today. We have a delightful gathering, both on the phone and in studio. It's our Daddy-Daughter Day. And we have Gary Baker's daughter, Lauren Baker, from the University of Michigan. And we have Ed Riddell's daughter, Sade Riddell, who is on with us from Grand Valley University in the Grand Rapids area. And we have Cal Carson's daughter, Meredith Carson, in studio with us. Ladies, I wanted to go to talking about technology in the college campus. Meredith, let me start with you. What kind of technology are you seeing you're being required to use in your classes? You know, assignments, you know, things like that. How is technology being woven into your classes?
I know at the moment, because I am a sign language major, that a lot of our books come with CD-ROMs. So typically, I've been relying heavily on my laptop because it does run a CD-ROM.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas opposed to the iPad, because not just yet, because they do have iTunes U. I know on iTunes U they haven't released, I haven't seen much anything for sign language textbooks just yet.
Okay.
But because the iPad doesn't run on that CD-ROM interface, I'm not able to use that.
Okay.
So according to my needs, it doesn't really fit me.
No, that's a very important note.
Well, and that's what we were saying, is it's not one or the other. Mm-hmm. You have to use kind of them all in because of different needs at different times. So
I'm curious how the universities are what are they requiring. Now, Lauren, at the University of Michigan, tell us a little bit more about how technology figures into the classes you're taking.
Yeah, we have a site, an online site called C-Tools, and it has all of our classes on it, and then it has class room for class blogs and chat rooms with that. So you can talk to both the teacher and other students in your class when you're not in class. So you can use your computer anytime to tune in. If you have questions at any time, you can talk to them instead of having to individually seek someone out. So technology really plays a role in getting everyone together in our classes.
Yeah, yeah. I know my grandson's at Michigan State University. Excuse me for mentioning that name. But he's at Michigan State University. Go Green. And he does a lot of collaboration. People work on papers together.
Yes. Yep. Yeah,
online.
Google Docs.
Yeah.
Are
he uses
great.
Google Docs is great for that. And Sharday, how about you at Grand Valley University? What kind of things are happening online there that we require technology for?
It's pretty much like the same thing that Lauren was saying. We have our own sites. We have something called Blackboard where we can view all of our classes. Mm-hmm. We can start online groups. We can get a hold of our professors, and it has all of our grades and all of our assignments on it for us. It's a really great tool to just stay organized and know what's going on in your classrooms and keep up with your grades and stuff like that. And I rely heavily on it and my Gmail because I love to email my professors because they love to be emailed.
So Gmail, that's interesting. So Gmail is very important.
You know, the older generation, the professors like email and everybody else likes instant messaging or whatever. Hey, Chardonnay, Lauren and I talked about this in some of her classes, but do you have a way to electronically answer questions? A lot of times a professor might put a question in a PowerPoint slide and put it on the board, and then he can or she can take and have you answer them with your smartphone or a clicker device. And
oh, yeah. Like voting?
It's kind of like voting. Do you use any of that technology?
I haven't seen any of it yet, but I've heard about it in the news a lot. I think it'd be really interesting to try and a really interesting learning experience, definitely.
I could just think when I was, when I was back a student and there were times when I didn't quite get the assignment done in time, and it was nice to hide and not have to raise my hand. Well, in this situation, I got to get the assignment done because they know if I don't vote or if I don't vote right.
Meredith, did you do things like that at UCC? OCC?
At OCC, yes. And a couple of my classes we've used something called Blackboard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
sure.
It was a wireless way for us to submit assignments. I know in my medical terminology class, we're actually using it occasionally because I have some assignments I have to submit that way. But I know that I believe Lauren brought up earlier the fact about FaceTime or some. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was brought up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But my professor is deaf. So if I ever had to ask a question, I can FaceTime him on my phone and ask him a lecture question that way.
Oh, that's neat. And you're studying American Sign Language.
Yes.
So it's perfect.
So you can sign it, but he probably can't read your lips. Is it good enough? Because it sometimes jumps around a little bit. It's pretty hard to read lips, so you'd have to sign on FaceTime.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And you're learning that anyway. So.
Yes.
Now, when you say FaceTime, are you using it on your laptop? Because FaceTime is built into the Apple applications.
On my laptop, it's not.
Oh, isn't it?
That's on Lion.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
I'm actually running, I believe, Snow Leopard. Mm-hmm. But on my phone, I have iOS 5.1, the newest one that's been released. So I can FaceTime him through my phone.
So you have to set it a little distance so you can do that and then use your hands? Because
push it back.
Unless you had a prehensile tail, you would have a little hard time hanging on to that.
Because they can do it one-handed, you know, that she can hold it out and do one-handed. So that I was talking about coffee, but now she can hang on to her
I'm curious, ladies, about the tablets. We hear a lot about tablets. Meredith, you were saying they're not as effective because, for instance, in your case, you need a CD drive or a DVD drive on yours. Lauren, let's start with you and ask you, what frequency are you seeing tablets being used by students at U of M?
Tablets are definitely, I was surprised. A lot of people are switching over, getting rid of their laptop and going to iPads and then getting a keyboard, an attachment keyboard for their iPad, and then even downloading Microsoft Word so they can do every, an Excel and every assignment they can do right on their iPad. So that surprised me. That's very recent, within the past week, that I've seen like five or more already. So
wow, that's interesting. Chardonnay, how about
at Michigan?
Yeah, okay, excuse me. Go ahead, Lauren. Finish your thought.
There's definitely a lot at Michigan.
Okay, very good. Hey, Chardonnay, how about you out of Grand Valley? Are you seeing the same thing out there?
Not particularly. People are a lot more heavily reliant on laptops, maybe because we're on the other side of the state and hasn't quite hit us yet. But
No, wait a minute. I know that U of M has this reputation, which, by the way, Mr. Baker sent us an article this week about how they're number one in the nation in research, et cetera, et cetera.
Foster,
et cetera.
I can clear it up for you. U of M, lots of cash, lots of money. Michigan, very Dutch, very frugal.
That's it.
But there's students in either school coming from all over. So,
but you're not seeing much in the way of the tablets there, huh?
Not particularly. I see people using them for more leisure activities, like okay. for just like playing Angry Birds and stuff. Like that's legitimately all they do.
Yeah. Meredith put a shout out right now. Right, Meredith? For Angry Birds?
That's a little disclaimer. I was kind of playing that this morning in class.
Oh, Lord. That's going to be... And now, wait a minute. I'm curious about this, ladies. Do you have people, like, in class it used to be that, you know, people were passing notes. Is the problem now that in class people are playing Angry Birds? Lauren?
I don't really keep my phone on. There's a big policy at Michigan. We have, if you get caught with it, it's kind of very bad. So I don't see too much of the phone use. Sometimes with laptops they get distracting. But I don't see too much phone use during
so
that.
So what are the rules and regulations there at U of M, then?
It's just not recommended if the teacher catches you, you'll get asked to leave because you're distracting. It's just a polite thing for other students to not distract them.
Well, that's cool.
We have, we've had a couple couple things with our iClicker, which my dad was talking about earlier, as a way to vote in. Call in. Uh-huh. You can, as a way to take attendance, but you could give your, if you're skipping class, you could give your iClicker to some, a friend that's going. So sometimes that's even a problem. So
I got it. It's always,
always a way.
Our old hacker here,
boy. Always, I'm glad we never tried anything like that when I was in school.
Oh, I love it.
Well, even with punch cards, you just ask your buddy to punch in at work.
Yeah.
So
said that.
Sharday, are there policies?
Of course, when Gary was in school, I mean, what do you do in an abacus, really?
Sharday, are there policies at school like that about how you can use the technology?
There aren't, like, specific guidelines. I think it pertains to each professor. I know I use my laptop in only 2 of my 5 classes because some of the teachers just don't even allow laptops because they're such a distraction sometimes because people are on Facebook.
That's just
a lot of people just bring regular notebooks. Just take regular notes.
You mean the ones that are paper? The ones made out of paper?
Yeah, the ones made out of that weird stuff called paper that we don't even know what it is anymore.
Dead trees?
We like to call it a pulp-based media. And Meredith is pulling
out. Meredith is flashing hers there. Lauren, do people still take notes on dead trees at University of Michigan, or is that well beyond you?
No, people definitely still do here.
Well, you know,
that's not, when you were angling for an iPad the other day, that's not what you were telling me.
You know, I will say that there's something about tactile writing down that you retain more of the information part given to you by a professor or a teacher when you write notes yourself. If you're typing it in, for me, I don't retain as much information when I type notes.
I'm curious.
My handwriting, I seem to take.
I want to get the poll, the reaction from the ladies on that. Meredith, how about for you? Does that work for you? Or do you feel like you retain the same amount if you type it in?
I do not. I need them written down.
So you have to write it by hand, huh?
Yes, and I'm being completely honest. This is a testament. They're in like 4 different colors.
All right, Sharday, how about you? Yeah. Do you have to write it down by hand too, Sharday?
It really depends on the subject. If I'm in my ethics class, I take notes on my computer because I know they would be all disorganized and I would need it to keep it organized. But in my math class, like I have a lot more trouble in math, so writing it down would definitely help me more.
That's very cool for control. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate you being with us here and taking the veil away from this brand new generation. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this Daddy-Daughter Day on the Internet Advisor. And we have one final question we're going to put to Meredith Carson, who's in studio with us. We'll do that in just a moment. But first of all, I want to talk about something that was a big news item. We deliberately put it off to the end so we'll be able to take our conversation with the young ladies. It was delightful. And thank you very much, Meredith, by the way, for participating in that. Also, Sharday out at Grand Valley University and Lauren Baker at the University of Michigan for joining us for this. But we want to talk about right now, and this brings our two Apple experts in. Actually, Meredith, you work at an Apple store. You're one of the folks who... helps answer questions there as well, so feel free
to
chime in.
She's a genius.
Oh,
I'm not.
You're working
your
way.
I'm actually a specialist. I'm working on my way to becoming a genius.
All right. Okay. Well, you're sitting next to a genius as far as we're concerned.
I hope you guys brought your Mac Ray helmets, by the way. There's a lot today.
For them. What we're talking about right now is the fact that earlier this week, it was announced that over 600,000, more than a half a million Macs, Apple computers, around the world, equivalent to about 7.5 million PCs, if it were the same in terms of proportion, were hit by this flashback Trojan. And what was serious about it was that it infected these Apple machines without any interaction on the part of the users. In other words, if they went to the website, it was one of these drive-by ones that immediately infected them. And guys, let's just pick it up there. Maybe Cal, you can talk about it, and Eric as well, about the story from that point on. First of all, you know, is this a brand new virus that's out there suddenly attacking Macs?
Well, we were talking about this a little bit before the show, and it's been hanging around for about a year or so, so it's not new. I think it was a slow news day, and it was time to, you know, bring up something in the technology viewpoint, and this was one of the things that just came up to the surface.
Well, and it's also gaining more and more traction. It's hitting more and more websites, so right. The chances, you're not just going to kind of one of those off-color websites, you know. Could get it from any place that they could get it on.
And it's like the third or fifth generation of the same virus. It's maturing. It's doing more. It's being a little more hidden, a little more transparent to the user. So the virus itself is maturing in its complexity.
And so it's mutating to a different way to remediate it. Right?
Well, and it's also different in the fact, too, that this doesn't require you to type in your password. It doesn't require to download something.
No interaction at all.
Like previous Mac viruses had. Before, it was really hard. You had to work at installing a Mac virus. Now, not so much.
But this has been around for a while, and the root of this thing is it's part of the Java system, and maybe you can explain what that is.
Well, it gets in via the JavaScript type system, so it sneaks in that way. You go to a website, there'll be JavaScripts in the website. As soon as you hit that website, those scripts are executing. You know, they may be showing you a movie, they may be showing you some sort of application, that sort of thing. Well, in the background, buried deep in all that madness, is this little nasty bot, and it slides into your machine, and then it just wiggles its way down to your hard drive and dumps some files in there.
Well, you know, when you think about it, if it were trying to hide itself in the HTML, right, the actual code, anybody can find it and see it. So it has to hide itself in an image, because those are just bits and bytes that point the image, or it has to go into a script that does something. Well, today, you know, Java is by far, in a way, I don't know what it is, 85-90% of all the interaction. If it's not Flash, it's usually Java or JavaScript. So, you know, they can hide it, you know, down into that executable file to execute the Java, and that's what puts it on your computer.
But the question I have for you guys is, Eric and Cal, why is it that Apple just now, if it's been around for such a long time, why is it that just now they've come out with a fix?
Well, they're not. There's a couple things. First of all, they're not famous for making, you know, quick patches. I was reading as you were saying, this has been out for some time.
That's not good news for Mac users.
Well, they haven't had to do it very often, so they don't have the practice, which is good. But they don't. You know, their reputation is they don't fix it very fast.
And the other thing, too, is with Java, they have, if I'm understanding this correctly, they have their own version of Java that they use, which doesn't get updated as much as a regular Java client would. So they're using an older version, which has older exploits. And
Cal, why now? I mean, why not 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago that they did this?
Well, you know, sometimes it takes time to put it all together. I think partially the Apple culture is, we don't start yelling, hey, there's a hole in there, and have everybody jump into it and try and exploit that hole, when it's better to say, hey, there was a hole, but it's fixed now. Put this on.
But what does that say, though, Ed? Because I know, for instance, with Microsoft, Microsoft's got a huge patch, I understand, coming out because of all sorts of holes that continue to be in Internet Explorer that they're going to dump down on Tuesday, I think. Patch Tuesday. But doesn't it sound rather strange that we...
Well, they're
that's a pretty lame excuse to say, well...
They haven't been beat up yet. They haven't been on the wrong end of a stick yet.
Microsoft, the wrong end of a very sharp stick.
Microsoft's been beaten up many times for not releasing patches in a timely manner. And especially in today's environment where you have 0 day, where a virus or an exploit is created the same day that it's been discovered that there's a flaw. You can't wait a month for that. And
so, you know, I'll tell you what, a little bit has to do with the guys at the top, you know, and I don't want to, you know, to say this about Steve Jobs, but he just wouldn't allow the company to admit that they made a mistake. So I went, you know, with my iPad, my iPhone, I would go in and I'd say, hey, there's a problem here with the operating system on my iPhone. Here's the problem. They go, we don't have a problem. No, that can't be it. It's got to be something else. Oh, and by the way, here's the fix for it. Right? No, okay.
But they would never admit it. But a virus is not a mistake made by the manufacturer or by the OS.
That's absolutely right. They're a victim, too.
That's something that
came from somewhere else. They're a victim, too.
Meredith, you work as one of the specialists in an Apple store, the Somerset store right here.
Yes.
Are you hearing people coming in talking about problems with their machines being infected? I know they would be sent to the Genius Bar, but right. I mean, did they come by you?
In the past few days, I haven't had really any virus questions come in. I've just had people come in and say, it's broken, fix it.
Yeah, but that happens with any computer.
Well, since we do have a Mac, expert
in training
specialist in the studio, if somebody came in and asked for Mac virus protection, what would you recommend for them? That's something we've always asked.
Good question.
Well, typically what I would recommend is if they're having a virus issue is generally I would go through the simple steps first, doing a hard reset and seeing if that puts it back, or restoring the phone completely, which means going through your settings and completely wiping your phone and starting over from scratch.
That's the phone. How about the computer?
The computer, oh, geez.
Send them to the Genius Bar.
I have no idea.
Cal, what is the alternative then for somebody? Now, we have, by the way, we should tell you quickly, on internetadvisor.net, there is an article with the fix, if you haven't put it already in. But basically, it's update your machine, because there's a fix out there for it, right?
Well, that fix out there is really, well, I don't like calling it a fix, because basically what you're doing is you're going into the system and getting rid of the files that they implanted in it and getting them out of there.
Okay. But then there's a patch also, so it doesn't come back.
Yes,
right?
And then once you do that, then you should run Apple Software Update, and it'll automatically grab the patch that's necessary and place it down on your computer, and then you'll be fine.
And you can go through the script.
And the patch only just came out.
Yes, that's what we're talking
about. And that was really what triggered the activity, was they finally admitted, hey, there's a problem, and here's the patch.
But there's a script, and by the way, I ran through it myself and found out that my machine was not infected. Thank you very much. But if you go to internetadvisor.net, there's the article on there that talks about how to check and disinfect your Mac, if you want to know about that, Cal.
Now, the other suggestion I like to give to people, if they don't want to get into the terminal mode and start, hacking around in OS, which those instructions are, and there's a disclaimer saying, be very careful.
It's like messing with the registry, right, Eddie?
And what I always say is back up before you do any stuff like that. There is a free antivirus software out there that is lightweight. Several of my friends are using it, and they're very happy with it. It's called Sophos.
Oh, Sophos, yeah.
Spelled Sophos. And they can download that, and that will take care of that situation as well.
Okay, Sophos, Sophos. I haven't got the number, but we'll make sure we put that on the homepage as well. But again, you can use the script that's in the article that's on our homepage to check this out. We've got to talk about geek love on campus. And when we come back in our next hour, you got to stick around to hear Meredith talk about this. Hey, we're going to take a break, a quick one. And when we come back on the other side, it's time for those of you who can to give us a call at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor is on the air for you to solve your computer problems. Come on back after the break, and we'll start helping you out get your computer straight.
You've been listening to a podcast of the first hour of WJR's Internet Advisor.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. And for those of you who can call us live right now, the lines are open at 800-859-0957. We have our three experts and even a Mac specialist in studio with us to answer your questions. 800-859-0957. First come, first serve. We'll be back in just a moment to start our conversation.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. For the latest up-to-the-minute technology news, check out the Internet Advisor's blog at internetadvisor.net.
By the way, we have begun, for those of you who are able to listen to us on our flagship station, we've begun our summer hours, which means that we will be on from 4 until 6 Saturdays. That's 4 until 6 until somewhere in the late summer, when Michigan State University basketball comes again, and then we'll be beginning to, on the network, you'll find us where you normally do find us, Michigan Talk Radio Network. But on our flagship station on WJR, we'll be sometimes traveling around. Longer, shorter, in different places. But in any case.
Flagship, huh?
Flagship.
I love that thought.
We're here today, and we're here for the folks to have the courage to give us a call. And I hope you do that. 800-859-0957. Now, one of the people in studio with us is Meredith Carson, who is Gal Carson's daughter. Meredith, you got to tell me about geek love.
I don't know if you should ask that on the air. I don't.
Oh, no, goodness. She.
It's not that kind of show.
She's got a shout out. She.
Oh gosh. What specifically?
How are nerds perceived in College State? We were talking with three very talented ladies who are very technologically adept, you and Lauren Baker and Sade Rodell in the last hour. And we wanted to get to that question, didn't get to it. But are nerds perceived as kind of like, you know, those weird people that, you know, are up late at night gaming and, oh, really? You got to tell me that.
Now, I apologize to the guy I'm going to rat out. Sorry. But he is a very heavy gamer, like World of Warcraft, StarCraft. He's making his own game. He plays Minecraft, which now I play. And he's on Reddit a lot. So it's a big thing for guys. But he's going into computer science and gaming. So
that's his excuse, huh?
That's his excuse. But he's studying more or less the science of the game than really the whole... I mean, the playing aspect is important, too, but he's studying the science as well.
So now, as somebody who's in a relationship with somebody who's like this, do you have to fight for his attention?
At the moment, we are just dating. We're friends. So it's a good like, friend balance at the moment. I don't have to fight for his attention because I understand it's something that he likes to do a lot. So And he liked it before I started coming around, so I'm not going to be one to change
You don't get jealous of the avatars?
No.
So I had a conversation earlier today about that, and I was told it's okay to like a geek.
It is.
All right. Well, I wanted to give you a chance to make that shout out. Do you want to give a personal shout out, by the way?
All right. Hey, Tim. I know I just talked about you on the air, but I just want to say hey and think you're awesome. So
there you go.
Keep being awesome.
We had to give that, Cal. We had to give that.
Who's Tim?
He came over last week.
During the next commercial break, you may discuss that. By the way, I want to say hello to Annie Nichols, who is our new producer. Eric Anderson is going to be helping us out with our Mac Minute every week, but he's moved on and upward, and he's helping with some other programs here on our flagship station. But Annie, thank you very much for joining us. And that's the lovely lady. And Rich Luzinski is our engineer still. Thank you very much also for being behind the glass. All right, folks.
I had thought that Eric just got cute, but I'm glad that we know that it's not him.
Oh, jeez.
No. All right, let's go to our callers. Linda from Sterling Heights, thank you so much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi, I have a Dell laptop, and I think my pins on the laptop are a little bent.
When you say the pins on the laptop, well, which pins are you talking about?
Literally on the laptop. You know, the cord that you plug into the laptop, it has like the male end of it. Mm-hmm. And the laptop is the female end. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, the little tiny pins in there.
Well, yeah, the pins are usually on the cord itself.
No, mine's a prong on the...
Oh, so it's an older Dell.
Well, it's only a couple years old.
I'm sorry.
You hurt her feelings.
Hurt her feelings. Yeah, it's only a couple years.
Well, I'm sorry. Do you know the model number of it?
On the laptop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dell Latitude. Inspiron.
It's an Inspiron N5010.
N5010. Inspiron, right? Okay, we can look at that.
So you said you broke... Excuse me.
Well, I thought it was my battery going, so I got a new battery from EBATS, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's still...
What's it doing is that when you plug in the AC adapter, it doesn't charge up because the center pin in your AC adapter is not going in properly because it's bent, and so it never charges the battery. Is that what you're saying?
Kind of, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, how many pins were there? Is it just one pin?
In there?
Yes.
Oh, I don't... Let me see.
Looks like there's a bunch of them in there, huh?
There's
well, she said pins, so...
Yeah. About six?
Yeah, that doesn't sound right. I mean, Dell made one with three pins, and most recent ones in the last 4 years have been a single pin.
This is... Yeah, okay, so my electrical adapter plugs into you know, the laptop. And on the electrical adapter, there is one little pin in there.
Yes.
Okay. But in the laptop itself, you know, the little circle hole that it plugs into.
Right, yeah. Right.
There's probably 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 or 6 pins.
You know what, you know what it sounds like to me?
No. That's the video cable?
No, it sounds like maybe when it the whole assembly slid out of the power slot.
Oh,
this is the same hole where you would normally plug in your AC adapter, correct?
Yeah, it's the only hole for my AC adapter.
Yeah, that's like what it sounds
above
like.
Above the hole, there's you know, a solid line and then 3 like dashed lines.
Yeah. Well, what sounds like is that the whole casing for that plug has gotten itself broken off on the inside. So
should we put Linda?
Yeah, hang on for a second, Linda. Yeah. We're going to take a look at this ourselves and see if we can come up with some answers as well. And we'll be back to take more of your questions at 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor is on the air for you.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. Have a question? Post it in our discussion forums on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. And by the way, plenty of time for your questions. But we're just going to be on now until the end of this hour. So please do get in. And by the way, if you're listening to us, for instance, one of the network's stations and can't get a call in right now, you can always go to our Internet Advisor forums and put your questions in there. And we have a whole bunch of people to visit that to help. But right now, if you can, give us a live call and we'll get to you. Now, I wanted to get back to you, Linda, just quickly, because it sounds like you talked about the power connector on your laptop seems to have either been damaged somehow or come loose, and you're not able to make a connection that would be allow you to power up your to charge your battery, right?
Exactly, yes.
Or even to connect the AC to it. There's a shop. This sounds like a mechanical problem.
Okay.
And there's a shop not too far from you. You are in the Sterling Heights area.
Right.
Some former one of our previous sponsors and people we trust a whole lot are the people at CompuQuest USA. CompuQuest USA. I think they're on Shaner and about 18 Mile. But anyway, CompuQuest and Shane Hamlin, who's been on with us, also works in there. And if you can find the number for them, just give them a call.
Okay, and that was CompuQuest USA?
Yeah, CompuQuest USA. It's a nice little storefront. They also can come out to your place and do some work for you. But since you're in the area there, they're on, I think they're on Shaner around 18 Mile, I believe.
Okay.
I haven't got the exact thing. But look for them in the directory, and you should be able to get some help there, okay?
Thank you very much, and have a nice holiday.
Thank you. Same
Thanks,
to
Linda.
You. Appreciate that. All right, Joe in Livonia, how you doing? Welcome to the Internet.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Joe.
What can we do for you?
Question in regards to the Apple virus that you were talking about. Is it a virus? Is it a Trojan? Does it really make much difference? And then you were talking about Sophos, and you were talking about the download from Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Do I use both? Which one do I use first, et cetera, and so forth?
Good question. Let's start with the first question, then.
No problem. It is a I call it malware. So it's like a virus and a Trojan all rolled together, I would say. It's characterized as a bot, as the virus community goes. What you want to do is you want to download the patch from Apple and apply it to your machine first. And then after you do that, then you can use something like Sophos to be able to protect it in the future from any future infections.
Okay, now I've got Clam XAV already on the unit. Is that liable to get to it?
You know, I don't know if Clam can handle it or not. I would go to their website to see whether or not that they, you know, they have it listed as something that they, that handles it. And if it does, then if Clam is taken care of for you, then I would just leave Clam on there and don't worry about changing it.
Okay, now one other thing, and that is I'm running 10.4. Do you know whether the patch handles everything, or are there separate patches for the various versions?
It'll be an appropriate patch. When you go to software update under it with the Apple, it'll look at your OS, and it will push the appropriate patch for your version of the OS.
Ed, you had a comment you were going to make before?
Well, the comment I had is, if you're running Apple's version of Java, you have a problem. If you're running the Java or Sun Microsystems version of Java, they've already patched it, and Java's already configured to auto-download updates.
He's probably using the Apple version.
Okay.
I'm using Apple. I don't think I've got a Java automatic.
Okay. So I just want to make that clarification.
Yeah, right.
So if you do that, you should be just fine.
Yep.
So for most of us who are using Apple computers, we would be using the Apple version of the Java applet on there.
Is that true? Is that true, Cal? Because I thought you had the option of installing. Is there a Java version from Sun for Max?
Yeah, there is a Java version for
Max. Okay, good. I just
but sure most people get when they get the machine, unless they have a application that necessarily has to use the Sun version of it.
That makes perfect sense.
Don't even bother.
Now, Joe, I know you didn't ask this question, but let me just piggyback on your question. I saw somewhere, Cal, that this does not affect Lion. The initial malware didn't affect Lion because that operating system, which is the latest OS from Mac, is not open to that. On the other hand, I've seen that if you have a browser plugin that deals, for instance, with Chrome that I use, that it was vulnerable to it. So, I mean, it's kind of confusing.
My best guideline for anybody is just to go to Software Update under the Apple on their Mac and just run that update against their machine. That will make sure that if they need it, it'll be applied.
And Joe, the other thing too is that we've posted, Cal gave us some information, and we posted this on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. There are some instructions on some code that you can run in the background. They sound like you're pretty knowledgeable.
Not that knowledgeable. I'm not real good with
this is terminal.
Console or whatever.
Well, this is terminal. And I don't know, in 10.4, would terminal be available there the same way?
Yes, it would.
Okay. Well, apparently this is a terminal command that you can run. And, for instance, I did it, and it'll tell you whether you've been infected or not. And
how step by step is it? Because when it comes to that stuff, I really do need.
Well, I tell you what, on a PC, I would not hesitate to try something like this. On a Mac, I was very hesitant, but it was very simple. It's a step by step.
You've got a lot of experience doing.
No, actually, not with Macs. I don't. I'm only about four years of experience with it. And to be honest with you, the step by steps were so easy. And fortunately, the answer came up that I was okay.
You have to give it a Jenny test.
Oh,
have your wife try it.
Jenny's my wife.
If she could do it, then it's easy. Try that. We should do. We'll call that the Jenny test.
Yeah.
And one last question: how long before you guys will have the podcast available for today's show?
It should be up within about 24 hours. And the reason I say that was there was a little bit of a glitch this last weekend. We discovered what the glitch was, and we've got it fixed so that we should be able to have it up pretty quickly.
All right. Thanks much, guys.
Hey, you're very welcome.
And the reason that it does take a little longer is that we rely on volunteers here because we don't have, you know, a paid staff that can go put this up. So it takes a little while to get some of this.
Speaking of volunteers, we have somebody right now who is anxious to talk to you. And that's Annie Nichols, who is our new producer. And she's sitting there waiting for calls at 800-859-0957. I know it's a holiday weekend for some folks, and that may mean you're busy with other things, but it also means that you have a unique opportunity to give us a call right now at that number, 800-859-0957, and get your question on the air and get it answered. And the neat thing about when you ask your questions, and by the way, we say the only dumb question is the one you don't ask, is that the answers to your questions often can help a whole lot of other people as well.
And we really do like easy questions so that we can answer them and makes us look smart. So,
Foster, if Linda is still listening, the number for CompuQuest is 586-247-8500. That's 586-247-8500. Ask for Shane Hamlin and tell him that the Internet Advisor sent you.
And Shane has been on with us a number of times.
And he's a great guy.
And that was on 19 and Shaner, right? Shaner just before 19.
Yeah, that's right. Shaner just before 19. So she's out in the Sterling Heights area, so it's very, very, very close to her. And once again, that phone number, 800-859-0957. We're taking your calls and seeing if we can get some answers for you to your questions as well. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. What can we do for you today?
I just have a quick question about my overheating on my computer.
Yeah, sure.
It's a custom-made computer, and, you know, the first thing I thought about it was that, you know, my computer's overheating, it's doing its emergency shutdown, and then, you know, I had to reboot it back up again. So I sat there and I sprayed air into it, you know, can of air, you know, it's a simple process.
Yeah.
And then it still overheated. So then I I decided to run a driver update on it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
To see if maybe, you know, my drivers were out of date, and that's what was causing my computer to shut down. Yeah. And it still didn't seem to work. So I was wondering if maybe my processor, the lubrication on the processor, maybe was starting to go dry, and maybe I need to reapply it.
Cal?
How long ago was this custom built for you?
I built it myself about 2 years ago.
And that was the first thing I was going to suggest that you do. You may want to, you know, get another tube of the paste and then take the processor up, clean the old stuff off, and then put a new application of that paste on there for that thermal paste.
Okay, yeah, because, if I open up the side of my tower and I turn the fan on, like a big actual industrial fan, like it works fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it's the thermal paste that's probably giving you the problem.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
And, the other thing, you can invest in a secondary fan on his case.
We'll talk a little bit more about this because I think there's some other issues we should talk about.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. Have a question? Post it in our discussion forums on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Thank you so much for being with us. Hey, you know, by the way, we have a Facebook page. And what I'm trying to do, by the way, during the week is, as the guys send me articles of interest and as I see things of interest in terms of computer world, I try to post the stories on Facebook. So just look for Internet Advisor on the Facebook page, and you can keep up with the news that's going on around us. We also tell you about when our programs are going to be on and the guests that are going to be on and lots of other information. So it's a valuable resource, as well as InternetAdvisor.net, our homepage. Our phone number here, 800-859-0957. More calls coming in. Alex and Carol with you in just a moment. Guys, I want to talk about very quickly, Cal and Ed and Gary, this whole business about overheating, because we hear it quite often from listeners, my computer's overheating, especially laptops, obviously, because you feel that there sitting on your lap. Here's Tom. He built it himself. It's a 2-year-old computer, and he says he's getting this overheating issue. Just before we went off, you said something, Ed, that I thought we should bring back to people, because even for people who aren't real techies, it's a very interesting way of troubleshooting that issue of overheating.
And that is to, if it's a Windows-based machine, I would power up the computer in safe mode. So when you power up, tap the F8 key and put it in safe mode. And in safe mode, you have to realize that's a minimalistic, minimum programs are running.
Right.
And just the bare essentials to give you keyboard, mouse, whatever, and a screen. And if it overheats then, you have a hardware issue. You have like a thermocouplers out. As Cal said, replace the thermal grease or, the coupling grease between the actual processor and video cards to the fan and the heat displacement, iron that's in there or the aluminum.
Yeah.
But if it overheats in safe mode, you have a problem.
Mechanical problem.
Yeah, mechanical. If it doesn't, and it's not overheating, you got a program running AWOL.
Something is going in a loop, in a spiral somewhere.
Yeah, it could be malicious software. I was working with someone's computer. I could not identify what program was using up. I could just watch the CPU increase in a program, and it was Microsoft Windows SVC host, which is a normal program. And eventually it went up to 2 gigabytes of memory.
Wow.
Of physical memory, but it was only using 5% of the computer's resources.
Oh, wow.
Very slowly, it would start incrementing. The only thing I could identify...
Memory leak or something.
It was either... there was a program calling it, and it could have been a Trojan, or it could have been a rootkit.
So what did you do to get it?
I rebuilt it. Yeah. I mean, I could not identify with all the tools that we had on our website identify what was causing it.
So that can happen. So in other words,
the other thing is, blankets or sheets, if you use it sitting on your lap, sitting in bed, maybe watching TV or watching, sometimes that will take and cause eventually that fan to suck in any loose fibers that are floating in the air.
Good point for laptops, yes.
And cats and kittens, right?
Yes.
So how do we take care of that? Because I know that my wife had the same problem with her computer, and it would, come up for a while, and then it would shut down after 15 minutes. Well, the next time she powered it on, because she goes, how could that shut down? So she powered it back on again, and it would shut down in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Then she said, how come that? And then it would shut down in 5 minutes. Well, it wasn't cooling all the way each time, but it was getting hotter and hotter. just take a can of compressed air and blow some of that
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
And then don't put the laptop on top of something like a sheet or a comforter or whatever, you know, if you're sitting on your bed. Because it's got to breathe, right, Cal? It's got to be able to be
so
breathing.
So even a better reason to go ahead and sell your laptop and get an iPad instead, it doesn't need a fan.
Yeah, good point. South
then you
state.
Can lay up in bed all day long
anywhere
if you
want.
Like.
Yeah.
I love it.
But it's
I
not,
love it.
It's not, you know, you can't use it at depth. You can't use it scuba diving or anything like that. Yeah.
All right, you guys. Let's go back to our callers.
That we know of.
Hello, Jay from St. Clair Shores. How are you doing? And welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hello. Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, Jay.
I have a question about an Acer Aspire laptop that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I need some electronic work done on it. I actually need the headphone jack replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to a few local places, but nobody wants to touch surface mount stuff, including me.
Yep. I had a hard time. I tried. I've done a few. I've actually replaced. I had a neighbor that had a gateway that went out, and their power connector in the back was bad. But what I did is I bought a replacement power adapter, and I desoldered it and put it in there. But that's a my eyes are getting old, and I had to get this huge magnifying glass. And it took a while.
How old is your Acer, Jay?
I think it's about 6 years old now.
Yeah.
Why do you want to hold on to it?
Because I use it every day.
And
so,
and it worked fine for what I needed to do,
with the exception of the headphone jack.
Except for the hat,
yeah. So we just had one turn in where I work, turned in to us with the power cord. Had the same problem with the power cord. It was for almost 5 years old, and it just didn't make any sense to fix it, and we just replaced it.
Now, what I did...
And this guy was on the road. He needed it.
Yeah.
Now, if it was me and it was my laptop and I didn't care, and if it was damaged, I'd go to the store and buy a $300 cheap replacement. But if you... Most of these manufacturers on their websites provide a PDF or an Adobe file that talks about how to replace individual components in there, including, you know, how to pop the keyboard so you can remove the plastic cover so that you can expose the motherboard. You're way past warranty. Anyways, what I've done with some people is I've actually gone through and just soldered two bare wires to the phone connector and had it come out the back of the laptop, and then and solder that to a Radio Shack phone connector, right? And then I epoxied it to the back of the laptop. And they were perfectly happy with
it. Ladies and gentlemen, you are hearing how somebody who, when he was a kid, took alarm clocks apart. This is what he becomes.
Wait a minute. This is it. Okay.
I like Cal's idea better.
Here you go. This is the deal. Go to Amazon.com, and you can get a USB to quarter-inch adapter where you can plug into your USB port. Idea.
It's a USB sound card.
You plug it into your USB port.
I actually bought one of those, and I can't get it to work.
It might be because your computer may be a tad bit too old for it. Did you use the drivers that came with it?
Yes.
Hmm.
What OS are you running on the computer?
Pardon?
What operating OS? System?
Oh, Vista Home Basic.
That should have worked.
Yeah, I would think so, too. You could try another manufacturer, but you know if you can't, for what it's going to cost to get that jack fixed on there, you're going to be halfway to a new computer. I mean, and an inexpensive one. So I mean, you know, you could still pursue it if you like, or you can break out the soldering iron, or you could try a different brand of USB to headphone jack and try and see if that'll work for you.
There's some ideas for you that'll occupy you during your vacation time. All right.
Yes, they will. Thank you very much.
All right, Jay. Thank you for your call. Hey, Jenny from Warren is with us. And Jenny, you have some comments on the overheating?
Yes. And I'm Jenny, the nurse from Warren, not your wife.
Thank you very much. I didn't recognize the voice, so I wasn't too worried.
I was just talking about this in our Sterling Heights Computer Club last week, and I've fixed many of my students. I have private students. This way, the stands that elevate your laptop, you know, an inch or so above, and at first I saw just metal ones that were not good, but I found one that was covered with like a soft coating, and it has little holes in it, and then it has two fans that you can plug in your USB
if
you need them.
Yeah.
But the fact that I have it raised almost an inch and have always used it. I carry it with me to the meetings at Sterling Heights Club, and I've never had a problem
That's
yet.
Wonderful.
And neither have my students who I have advised to get this.
Excellent idea. Meredith, you had a comment, too.
Yes. I actually have a desk that I bought from Bed Bath & Beyond. It was about $25, $30, and it actually has a USB fan and a cup holder, and it has other outlets in the back, too.
Oh, I love it.
And the sides are even padded so that you don't hurt your arms, and it can be used as a mouse pad, too.
Oh, so it's a tiny desk, like for a bed with a...
Yeah, you can actually prop it up like a
desk.
Like
a dinner tray. Oh, my goodness.
Or have it flat.
Yeah. Now, does it have a place to hold my drink?
And yeah, there's a cup holder.
Wow.
Where was this at? Cool. That's not the CD drive either,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's what I've been
using. That's an endorsement. That's great.
It also comes with a full corned beef sandwich on the side.
I'll send the link over so you can kind of take a look at it. But it's a good tool to have.
Thank you.
Now, I'm surprised at how many people don't know about that and are laying those laptops on their pillow or their knees or something, and how simply... And I never had to turn the little fans on. And I've had it 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good point. Jenny, thank you so much for calling in, because I know there are a lot of... That's why we stopped to talk about it, because there's a lot of people out there who face this. And, you know, there are some simple solutions, too.
Hey, Jenny, how often does your club meet?
Sterling Heights has the main meeting once a month at South Macomb K Building College on 12 Mile near Hayes.
Okay, at what time?
7:30 on the second Tuesday of the month, and it's a. I've been in that club 22 years.
That's great!
Wow,
and it's a great club, and we have speakers like each month. You know, we'll have a different speaker, a different interest, and then also we have SIG meetings. You know, the sub.
Yes, meetings.
And they alternate between Clinton Township Library and Sterling Heights Library.
That's wonderful. Hey, listen, we've just run out of time here, but Jenny, you have given a wonderful, and have a great holiday as well. Great tips. Your library is a great source of resources for all sorts of things. Back in just a minute, Alex and Carol, we'll be talking with you and getting some answers for you on the Internet Advisor. We want to thank you very much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. And by the way, if you'd like to find out some more information, for instance, get some more answers to other questions that may come up during the week, simply go to internetadvisor.net, and then we have our forums that you can enter. And just to put a username in there, get a password for yourself, and boom, you're in business. And we can get some answers for you during the week as well. Lots of other people, many of the people who you hear as the experts on our team, visit there, plus some very smart listeners as well who tune in and see if they can get you some answers to your questions. Once again, welcome to Annie Nichols, who is our producer. Good to have you with us. And also to Rich Lozinski, who is our engineer behind the board. And let's go right out to our callers again, to Alex. Hey, Alex, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you here on the Internet Advisor?
All right. Here's the issue that I'm having. I do have virtually a brand new computer in Hawaii. I've had it for about less than 2 years. And I use it for one thing and one thing only, and that's online gaming, and that's World of Warcraft.
Okay.
Now, I do use it anywhere between 5 to 8 hours a day, so I do use it extensively. I got a 280 gigabyte hard drive in it and about 6 gigs of RAM, but the game recommends 1 gigabyte of RAM, but every time I run that game, it slows down my computer to a point where if I try to actually go on any website, it'll take for at least maybe 2, maybe up to 3 or 4 minutes to actually open up a website.
Wow.
Now, was it like that when you first powered it up and got it out of the box and installed World of Warcraft on there? Was it that slow?
No, it was perfectly fine. What I also realized, which started happening about maybe 5, 6 months ago, where once that game goes on, or even before the game goes on, I could hear like there's a program running in the background that's causing my fan to run faster, that is causing the fan on my video card go a lot faster, and also it seems like there is a program somewhere running, but I can't find it. Seems to locate the program
at all. Sounds like what you were saying before, Ed.
Sometimes it's just so hard. I mean, if you're using this only for that, I would back up your data.
I do turn the web on it.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so you do a little web surfing, but basically use it for gaming and for surfing the web, right?
I mean, the quickest way that I've found sometimes, because it sounds like you've been dealing with this problem for a while, and I'm trying to identify what's been going on for several months, is use your restoration DVDs that the manufacturer provided you. Was this a custom system, or do you have restoration DVDs that you can
use? Actually, these don't come with restoration CDs. They're like where you can just...
as the system to restore itself.
There's a partition.
It's got a partition.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I would do. That's the simplest. Back up your data, do a restoration, put all your updates back on there, your antivirus, and...
And that's another funny thing, that my antivirus is a Norton antivirus that came from Comcast, which is, I guess, one of the best ones out there. And it seems like every time I turn that off, I get more speed out of that computer. Now, every time I open up my...
Let me back you up for a second.
Well, because Norton antivirus will actually scan every piece of information that's coming into your computer, whether or not it's heading to your game or your website.
Yeah.
So, and it's scanning all those packets.
And by the way, that they have to do
they
that.
Have to do
every
that.
Single antivirus program does that. Some are a little more efficient than others. And I think, Foster, you were going to say at one time the whole suite sometimes bogged things
down. Was notorious.
Because they did things for you that you didn't need to have done all the time.
I have to say, I just had the recent experience on a Mac. I was using Mac Keeper, and I found that the Mac Keeper helper was in the background gobbling up about 15-20% of my CPU. And I probably pulled it. That was it. I did not want it. I don't want that kind of help.
Well, you have to remember, you know, when you get a software package for antivirus or something like that, it comes with some sort of overhead with it.
Yeah.
How much overhead can be adjusted if you are willing to go into the actual product and say, okay, I don't want you to do this, I don't want you to do this, I don't want you to do this, that sort of thing.
Alex, by the way, we're having a little trouble with the noise in the background there, but let me just ask you, what kind of operating system are you running? What's the operating system on this computer?
You can't ask him.
Yeah, can he? Alex, sorry. What was the operating system that you're running on your computer?
Windows 7.
Windows 7. Okay. So you've got a good Windows 7. Now, I would try this because we've gotten good results and good security so far is to put the Microsoft Security Essentials on Windows 7. That works well with it. It's lightweight, and it seems to provide some very good protection. In addition to that, if you're using Internet Explorer 9, you've got even more protection there.
Now,
but this is not going to cause.
You might think it could be like a malicious software that's actually installed on there without me knowing about.
Yes,
that's running in the background.
Yes, it could be that.
Yes.
And when Foster's saying download and install Microsoft Security Essentials, he's saying that doing that he'd have to uninstall the free Norton. But you can always go out there and reinstall again. I want to confirm that you've actually used Malwarebytes or Super Anti-Spyware to actually scan your computer.
I tried that also, and it showed no malware at all whatsoever.
Could he start shutting off processes?
Yeah, have you looked in Task Manager to see what...
Yes, and that's another thing, which there's literally nothing running in there either besides...
Yeah. And I was talking about the person's computer I worked on last weekend. Yeah. I could not identify anything. But the only thing I was able to identify, I found a process out there, like I said, it was a Windows process. It was only using 5%, but it used up almost all available memory within 5 or 10 minutes of having the computer power.
Basically, what we're saying
is... He had a rootkit infection.
Yeah, a rootkit infection,
which
way deep.
Which you cannot see.
Okay, right. So Alex, what we're saying then is some of your options would be to take the antivirus program you have out now and put in the Microsoft Security Essentials, one way. Or the other thing that Ed is saying, and it may be even simpler for you to do, is to simply rebuild the software off of that partition that's on your drive.
Yep, back up everything.
Back up everything, rebuild it, and see if that fixes the problem for you. Okay?
Sounds great.
All right, sir, thank you. I'm going to see if we can get one more question here before we wrap things up. Carol from Sterling Heights, how you doing?
Hi, thank you. I've been having trouble connecting to the Internet, so I called Huawei, who is my provider, and in a couple of different calls, one was check your firewall settings. They were fine. Another one was had me do the command prompt for the IP config to get an address. And it'll work for 2 days, then I can't connect. It'll work for 2 days, I can't connect, or vice versa. And the last call was... do the config again, our IP config, and I have no address. My address is gone, and I'm wondering, because one of the times I went into my antivirus under the firewall, and I have a little section under networks.
Yeah.
And I clicked on one, and it gives them the option to edit, add, or delete, and I deleted. Can you delete your IP address? If not, she told me it's my network card. That it could be, but it's not any problem on their end at all. All their connections that they can see are good.
Okay.
All the lights are good.
So are you using a wireless router?
No. No, I'm totally disconnected from any router. I'm just on a modem.
So you're directly connected to the Huawei modem?
Yes.
Maybe the modem.
Well, according to them, all the lights are correct, and from their end, what they're registering is everything's good on their end. So says it's my computer.
Yeah. So let's try this.
Okay.
If you have another, you know what, the cable that goes from the modem to the back of your computer is called an Ethernet cable.
Yes.
Do you have another cable there?
I have just the dark one that screws in.
This would be an Ethernet cable. It has what they call an RJ45 jack on
big,
the end. It
looks
like a
plastic
it looks like
clip.
A telephone cable.
Oh,
but
I thought that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Do you have a spare one of those?
Do you have an extra one?
No.
See, it may be your cable.
Yep. Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, right, that would be the first thing to check.
You mentioned CompuQuest. Is that a place to call to get some information?
Sure,
yeah, if you're in Sterling Heights, absolutely.
586.
What is it?
586.
Uh-huh.
247-8500.
Thank you.
And ask for Shane, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for being with us here on the Internet Advisor. And again, thanks, Eric Anderson, for all of your service to us. Eric will still be with us with the Mac Minute. But then welcome to Annie Nichols and Rich Lozinski as well, who are behind the glass. Guys, it was great to be on here with the Daddy-Daughter program. Meredith, thank you so much for being with us here as well.
Thank you.
And a little bit of class to the studio.
Yes, absolutely. Happy Easter, Foster, and to all of you out there
Thank you very much for listening
to us.
Happy holidays to all of you out there. We'll see you the next time on the Internet Advisor. In between time, visit us at internetadvisor.net.
You've been listening to a podcast of the second hour of WJR's Internet Advisor.